found in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I wish. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God, and only him shall you serve." The devil led Jesus to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all these temptings, he left Jesus until a more opportune time. May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Amen. The text for today comes from those first two verses of the gospel lesson. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. My father-in-law was a man who always had to be busy. Therefore, he had a lot of hobbies. Vegetable gardening in the summer, caring for his roses spring, summer, fall, and even winter, latch hook rugs in the evenings, and rock polishing. When he died, I was bequeathed with his rock polisher. Now, a rock polisher is a round rubber cylinder about 6 or 8 inches in diameter. And what you do is it takes a lot of patience and a lot of time. You put a handful of rocks in the cylinder, and then you throw in some grit. And then you fill it with water, you put the lid on the cylinder, make sure it's sealed, then you put it on this wheel that you plug in, and it spins the cylinder over and over and over and over and over. And if you have ever heard or tried to polish rocks, as someone did after the 8 o'clock service, you know how long it takes. You hear the slow rumble of the rocks tumbling against each other and against the grit. And you leave it in there. You don't check it for 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks at a time. And then at the appropriate time, you take the cylinder, you pull the lid off, you put it through a strainer, and you wash off all the rocks, and you put the rocks back in, put water back in, put in a finer grit, and then you start the process all over again. You do this 4 or 5 times, each time with a finer grit than the time before. Eventually, after 4 or 5, maybe 6 months, you do the final wash. And it is then that the rocks become stones, and their true beauty is released, their inner beauty is released, as they are smooth and shiny. And so it is, I believe, with temptation. Over the course of a lifetime, I believe that we face many temptations and that they are like grit in a rock tumbler. Eventually, the temptations that we face reveal our true character. They reveal who we really are. What is your greatest temptation in life? My wife once observed in a sermon that we are never tempted by those things that we do not desire or want. For example, if you do not like chocolate, you are not tempted by a batch of fresh baked chocolate chip cookies. Nor are you tempted by Ghirardelli chocolate squares. In the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, a book of beginning, we read that the first of our kind, when they were in the garden, were tempted by the fruit of the tree that produced fruit that was both good to eat and pleasing to the eye, and that it was desirable for gaining wisdom. Temptation, I believe, comes in all forms, shapes, and sizes. Some people are tempted by the accumulation of money or by titles. Others are tempted by a sense of control or power. They want things their way. Still others are tempted by fame and recognition. They are oftentimes on Twitter accounts. The story of Jesus' temptation, I believe, is familiar to many, if not all of you, at worship here this morning. It occurred immediately following his baptism. But to me, the most interesting thing about Jesus' temptations is not the temptations in and of themselves, but rather it is how Jesus got into the wilderness of temptation in the first place. All of the Gospels agree that it was the Spirit of God, the Spirit that first declared at Jesus' baptism, "This is my Son." It is this Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness of temptation. Now, this tells me that Jesus' temptation was not accidental, but rather it was intentional. There was a purpose and a meaning behind it. But what could that purpose or meaning possibly be? I believe that the story about Jesus' temptations per se were about the choices that he made in the face of temptation. In the Gospel of Matthew, immediately after the Beatitudes and Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says to those who are listening to him, "Seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and then everything else will fall into place. All these things will be yours." Jesus told those who would take him seriously to put God first. And in each of his temptations, in his response, we find that Jesus placed his ultimate trust in God's providential care. And I believe that in these 40 days of Lent that began last Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, we are challenged to choose where we are ultimately going to put our own trust. As one of our confessional statements declares, "In life and in death, we belong to God." The Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans said, "If we live, we live unto the Lord, and if we die, we die unto the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord." In her commentary on this particular passage, Lori Brant Hale wrote that there is a spiritual depth and power for life that is made possible as we respond in faith to trials, troubles, and temptations of life. We are tempted by a variety of things and different things, but life's temptations are the grit that reveals who we really are. And the table that is set before us and to which we will come forward to receive the elements of that table remind us that in the midst of our temptations, that just as God provided manna to the wandering Israelites in the Sinai desert, And just as God's angels ministered to Jesus when he came out of the wilderness of temptation, so God ministers to us in our daily life by providing the bread that we need to give us the strength and the courage for life's journey. I believe that our gospel text leaves us with a choice. The choice is not what is our greatest temptation, but rather the choice is how much do we trust God's providential care for us? How much do we trust the love of God for us as we face our temptations? To God be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand and join in either reading or reciting the Apostles' Creed. It is found in your bulletins. Please stand. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth.
Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You all may be seated. This is a time of opportunity when